Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. And yes, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it's very definitely another beautiful day in my consciousness as well.
And for you new listeners, those are my buds. Hi, guys. Introduce yourself.
Hey, hi. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
Hey, y'all. This is R.D. Bill Holton, and Cher and I have a website called the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.com.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, RD stands for Reverend Doctor, and also for research and development.
Because, there you go.
Because Bill is our RD guy. And of course, many of you know I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, which will be under construction shortly. And for spiffing it up, in the sense that it'll be more usable, hopefully. And there you'll find where I'm traveling around the country. My next event is in Chesapeake, Virginia, from September 16th. I'm doing the Sunday service, then the 17th to the 22nd. I am teaching there. So go to their website and find out what I'm teaching, because I'm not remembering right now. And then, of course, there's my weekly blog called The Absolute Word, where I take Unity's daily word for Sunday and ramp it up, amp it up to a more oneness language sort of thing. Right, guys?
Right.
Right. So are you ready to romp?
We are ready to romp.
Yeah. So here we are around the virtual kitchen table. This is our second edition since we moved the table from Unity Online Radio to our own website. And you can get that information at bit.ly/ MetaRomp, and that's where we've been sending you all along, bit.ly/ MetaRomp. And so we're continuing in the first segment with principle and law, where principle is a spiritual fact, a spiritual constant, and the term we're preferring, at least I'm preferring, is a universal fact or a universal constant. And we could talk about universal principle instead of spiritual principle. And then a spiritual law is an immutable law, and a law is always engaged, and the only choice we have is how we use it, but we must use it. And today we're beginning with the law of fulfillment. The law of fulfillment. And let's continue with Cher. You do the honors of reading, please.
All right, I sure will. And this comes from Charles Fillmore's book, Prosperity. Somewhere around the page 113, 114 range, depending on what version you're looking at. And he starts out with a summary of a story that shows up in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. And a lot of our listeners may be familiar with this story already. It's used quite often as a prosperity story from ministers and spiritual teachers. So this is just a quick summary for those who may not be familiar with the story. So he says, in the Old Testament, in the 4th chapter of 2 Kings, there is a fine prosperity lesson for any home. The widow represents one who has lost his consciousness of God's supply and support. That divine idea of God as all abundance is our true support. The two children of this home represent the thoughts of debt, what the family owes, and what someone owes the family. The prophet, which is Elijah in the story, is divine understanding. The house is the body consciousness. The pot of oil is faith in spiritual substance. It's interesting. I'm just going to pause because I'm realizing he doesn't really tell the story. He's interpreting the story here.
He doesn't. Why don't you tell the story, Cher? And
yeah, for those who may not be familiar, they're sitting there going, what?
What?
The story essentially is of a widow who did not have enough oil for the things she needed in her home. And oil was very expensive at the time and very hard to get.
And we should say that in the context of the Bible story, it's a woman.
It is a woman.
And yeah. And here's Fillmore using a male pronoun in reference to the widow, which is interesting.
I think it's because everything was male pronoun at the time he wrote.
That's right.
It was neuter almost.
Yep.
But the good catch. So in the story, her debtors have come and are going to take her children because she can't pay for the oil. and she has nothing. And Elijah comes and tells her to gather all the empty pots that she has and borrow them from her neighbors and everything, and to fill them all with oil that she has. That's what it was. Fill it with oil, and the oil she would sell to make the money to pay her debtors. I had that story wrong in the beginning.
Right.
It's coming back to me as I tell it.
Yeah.
And so she said, but I only have this little bit of oil. And he said, keep pouring, just pour and pour and pour and fill all your vessels. And as long as she had vessels to fill, the oil lasted. And it just continued to fill and fill and fill until she ran out of pots. And then the oil ran out at that point, and she was able to pay her debtors. And then he told her to go into her house and close the doors. And that's your consciousness, of course.
Yep. Yep.
So that's essentially the story. So going back, the widow represents one who's lost their consciousness in supply and support because she believed she didn't have enough. She couldn't pay the debtors. The divine idea of God is all abundance is our true support. The children of the home represent the thoughts of debt, what the family owes, and what someone owes the family. The prophet of Elijah is divine understanding. The house is the body consciousness. The pot of oil is faith in spiritual substance. The neighbors are outside thoughts, and their empty vessels are thoughts of lack. I don't know if I'd agree with that. But that's,
me either.
I don't think so, because they were there and they were empty and they were able to be filled. So,
right.
Unless the fact that they had them and they were empty, she could take them and fill them.
Yeah, there's a lot of these things he's doing that I wouldn't do metaphysically.
Yeah, me either. Yeah. And he might do them differently if he was here right now, too.
Yep.
This is followed by strong words of affirmation, pouring the substance into all the places that seem to be empty or to lack until all are full. And of course, that's what Elijah told her to do. In conclusion, it is affirmed that every obligation is met, every debt paid, and there is so much left over that there are no vessels left to hold it.
Yeah, so this is so that last piece for me is fairly significant in that when we hold thoughts in mind, that's how we build up substance. So we want to build up substance, and that's what it's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
Okay. So going on.
He says.
Wait a minute. Did we want to say anything about all of that, Bill? Do you have any comment on all that?
Just that what's interesting about this. As we build substance, the only thing we build from the unmanifest is the thoughts and the divine ideas.
Yep.
Substance actually comes from the physical plane. So the divine ideas come to us in terms of how to use the substance in the physical plane to create what we want to manifest.
Yeah, so that's true. And here, at least in one place, he's referring to spiritual substance, which is, we've always agreed that having a substance that's the physical stuff and substance that's non-physical was really a bad choice of words.
Yeah.
So this is what I like to call spiritual oomph, or a head of steam, rather than substance.
Yeah.
Okay. Go on, Cher. Okay.
This compares with the promise of God. I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Whoa. There
we
go.
That comes from Malachi.
Right. Anthropomorphic God, right? No. That God's doing things. And so we may have to rearrange that in a moment.
Right. And the first part of that is also missing, which says, prove me. So that God is saying, prove me and I will open up the kingdom.
Right. And that's always in the Unity Church in context of a prosperity. So you give to us and then God will prove.
Yeah. It's the go-to verse for tithing in churches.
So that always struck me as interesting because it wasn't in Malachi. It was somewhere in the Old Testament in the Hebrew scriptures that the first tithe was paid to somebody who helped somebody win a war. That's not what I call anything spiritual, right? Give to where you're spiritually fed. At least not in the literal story.
And it's really not talking about a giving consciousness when you think about it, because if you give expecting to get something back, that's entitlement.
And that's a what do they call it? Quid pro quo. Mm-hmm. That's a business arrangement. Yep. Yada yada yada.
So let's see what Charles says. He says, "Heaven, when he's talking about the verse, I will open you the windows of heaven. Heaven represents the mind. All this is done in the mind, and you can do it. Carry each step forward in your imagination exactly as if it were occurring in the without.
Okay, so when I heard or read, open you the windows of heaven, to me that meant open you the windows of absolute consciousness, where the divine ideas are. I can't even think of the right word. We're not provided with divine ideas, but when our focus is on that, we become aware of divine ideas.
And I'm wondering, since you use windows as plural, that if we use windows and interpret that as levels of awareness, which would imply plurality,
yep.
Because there are many states of awareness in absolute consciousness.
Mm. Yeah, and another way we could see windows are the way in which we see into a house, and so windows are the way in which we see into this absolute state of consciousness, mm-hmm. which fits what you just said.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I think we're doing a better job with this.
I do too. I like this a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
So all of this is done in mind, and you can do it. Carry each step forward in your imagination exactly as if it were occurring in the without. Form your prosperity demonstration in your mind, then hold to the divine law of fulfillment. And having done all, stand, which is a strange quote. He's got that in quotes with no references to where it came from.
Yeah, it's like, want me to go on reading and you can look it up, or what do you want to do?
I think it comes from Ephesians, where Paul is talking.
The Apostle Paul, not me. I'm the faux Paul.
Right.
Right. Don't blame this on me.
And Paul the Apostle is saying to the church in Ephesians, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. I just looked that up while we were talking.
And that comes from Ephesians 6:13, if you folks want to look that up.
I don't know what that has to do with what is happening in the chapter, the Malachi, but
he
liked the idea of standing firm, I think, and found that little verse.
That's what he's going for. That's what he's going for. A little proof texting where you find two or three words in the Bible and you say that supports your belief.
Yeah, nobody else does that.
No one does that. Not even me. Okay. All right. Okay.
So you may not be able to fill the vessels with oil on your first attempt. So this is his escape clause. Okay.
Oh, okay, right.
You may not be able to fill all the vessels with oil on your first attempt, but as you practice the method day by day, your faith will increase and your results will be in proportion to your increasing faith.
Yeah, so my first gut reaction to this is that it's a rule, because you get a result according to how you use it. Maybe we...
3 minutes.
I don't know. I want to go with it. It's a rule, because like it seems like I can choose to do it or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm kind of pondering on it, because if it's saying that the law of fulfillment, that this is something that happens, and how it looks is going to depend on what your belief in it is or your faith in it is, but you can't stop it from happening. Kind of like the law of gravity. I mean, it doesn't know whether you're rich or poor or whether you believe in it or not. But if you understand it, you can use it. If you don't understand it, it's still you're going to slip on the ice. But Cirque du Soleil actors know how to use that law of gravity because they understand it.
Yeah.
But it's a law that we don't have any choice. Things are being fulfilled. It just depends on what vessels we use, how much is there.
So what you're saying then is the law's working and you're going to get a result.
Yeah.
Good, bad, or ugly.
Right. It's happening. Yeah. And we get to, the how-to comes into play when we understand how to increase our faith or grow our consciousness awareness.
Yep.
That's ways we can make it work in our favor more.
And what's interesting about this sentence too is when he says increase your faith. What I like about that is that faith really is, true faith, is evidence-based.
Yes.
And based on past experience, of manifesting from substance, you continue to use your faith. So faith really is evidence-based.
And so it's understanding faith then is is a technical term in Unity. So I think I'm going to go with you on that. I think the law of fulfillment, it is a law. It tells us how things work, junk in, junk out, basically. Right. little effort in, little effort out. And I'm going to compare this when I do the book to the law of justice, because the law of justice basically says the same thing. You get a just result when you use the law, and that's based on how you use it and what you put into it. Yeah. So,
Somewhere in here is the law of mind action. I mean, it's...
Oh, it's got to be.
It somehow, yeah.
Well, so this is where imagination comes in and all of that. So it's all done in the mind. So mind idea expression, law of mind action, law of expression from the absolute to the concrete. Yep. Okay.
And it's either mind action or mind auction.
Man, auction.
It's up to us.
Yes.
Do we sell it off? Or?
Right. So I think it's time to pivot. Cher, are we ready to go?
We are ready to go, and we are going to be working this time with Bill's book again, Reverend Bill, Unplugged and Unedited.
Unsupervised.
Unsupervised as well. In my defense, I actually left him totally unsupervised. So I just want to, since it's unplugged, I want to do a little plug.
You should do a plug.
For the book, because we are doing a lot of reading from it, and it would be nice if listeners had the book, they can make notes in there and send us information of how they interpret some of the things we're talking about, because we just love to imagine all our listeners are with us here around this table. So if you're interested in Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited, you can go to our website, which is the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.com or yourspiritualpractice.com. Go to our product page and you'll see it there. You can also find it on Amazon. So we highly recommend you take a look at it. Reverend Bill, Unplugged and Unedited.
And I would just say, if you like it, Cher is curating what we're actually looking at. We're not looking at every entry either.
No. We've left a lot of great stuff out. So we're trying to do the ones that make sense to talk about, because they're shorter and make easier to understand. But he's got some great stuff in here. I'm pretty impressed.
Well, thank you.
Yes, indeed. We're having a lot of fun with this. So where are we going to go today?
Well, we finished in our last discussion, we were talking about spiritual growth. So I thought it would be useful to flip over to page 174 and look at spiritual practice, because the two really go hand in hand.
That's really good. Yep.
So it's a little longer entry than we normally like to do, but it's got several pieces, so we can break it up.
And we may have to do it in two shows, and that's fine.
That's okay too, because we have plenty of time.
Yep.
We're going to be doing this a long time. So this is spiritual practice, and here's what Bill says. Because meta-spirituality, and I want to stop on that and just remind people that that's a word we created to combine spirituality and science. And we put the two together and we call it meta-spirituality.
And I like the additional definition that I've added, because I think they both work, is this is beyond your mother's spirituality, right? This is beyond traditional, what's traditionally thought as spiritual.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It looks at it from a whole different perspective.
Yeah. I like both of those definitions.
Okay. So because meta-spirituality is a way of life, and that's important to be aware of.
A way of life. Yep.
You know, it's not something you just believe on the side. It is a way of life. It invites you to use a multiplicity of religious practices and turn them into spiritual practices. So you can turn outer-focused religious practices into inner-focused spiritual ones. And let me pause there, because people may get concerned about the religious word, you know, the R word.
Yep.
But what this is saying is there's a lot of practices in more traditional religion that are really powerful. There are some powerful practices, but people, when they leave the religion, then they don't know what to do with the practices that have worked for them. So what Bill's suggesting here, I'm kind of speaking for him, and we may want to let him explain that in more detail. But what I'm getting from that is it's okay to bring the practices, but we want to shift the practice. And we can use a multiplicity of practices from a variety, best practices from other religions, to bring them in and apply that principle or that practice to what we believe.
Yes, so you're saying don't throw out the practice with the religion.
There you go. Like the baby with the bathwater.
Like the baby with the bathwater. And so in the tradition in which we were trained in unity, there is a little bit of that, like changing the communion with the actual physical elements for a spiritual communion.
And
there's all kinds of things like that we can do, mm-hmm. and we don't have to keep them mired in religiosity when we can have them soar in our divinity.
And even if you use the physical elements in the rituals, we interpret those differently than what traditional religion interprets them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm getting the sense this is going to go into our next show.
So. Yeah, probably will.
I suggest we jump to the highlighted piece in the center of the next page?
Yes, cool. Sure. It says too much theology and too little practice is trying to eat the menu instead of the meal.
Brilliant. I think that bears repeating. Too much theology and too little practice is trying to eat the menu instead of the meal. And that's an important concept. And I don't know about you guys, but I find when I travel around the country, do people like to spin around these ideas that really, in my mind, pulls them away from the in-the-moment practice. It's not that stuff is wrong. It's that it's in the moment-to-moment living and practice where we truly transform ourselves.
Yep, and I agree completely. And I feel that you cannot get the true understanding of things unless you add the experience to go along with it.
Exactly. I think in respect for our time, we should pivot now to the absolute word, which I'm pulling up right now. And so this comes from Sunday, September 9th, 2018. As a reminder, the absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. So the words for September 9th were a creative process, which I should remind any new listeners or people who aren't familiar with Unity, the creative process is based on the 7 days of creation. It's a metaphysical interpretation of that. So the affirmation is, I create using divine ideas according to the creative process. I create using divine ideas according to the creative process. In the revealing word, Charles Fillmore said, the ego is man, and by reason of his divinity, he makes and remakes as he wills. I use the 12 powers to make and remake myself according to my level of consciousness. I'm going to repeat that. I use the 12 powers to make and remake myself according to my level of consciousness. Symbolically, the 7 days of creation described in the Bible correspond to the 7 stages of the creative process. From inspiration to completion, we consciously use 6 of the 12 powers to manifest our heart's desire: faith, imagination, understanding, will, judgment, and love. The creative process may be sparked by a vague restlessness or dissatisfaction with what is, or it can be sparked by a desire for something better or new. Ideas are manifest and clarity begins to take shape when I use the creative process and affirm, I create using divine ideas according to the creative process. Hmm. And I want to jump in here real quick too and say, wow, the 7 days of creation, that creative process overtly uses 6 of the 12. If anybody's really familiar with the 12 powers, you can figure out how the other 6 are involved.
Absolutely.
Because all 12 are involved. So you guys have anything you want to add to that?
I just love that you included the restlessness and dissatisfaction as well as a desire for something better or new. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It can be both and. And I like that.
Yeah. And so what was really interesting in the Daily Word for that Sunday, they only talked about the restlessness and dissatisfaction. And so I added in the positive side because we can use anything.
And that can be some of the best creativity.
Absolutely. When our lives are in chaos, I think that's when we're the most motivated to do something, right? Wow, another great show, guys. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Cher. Thank you, me, I guess.
Yes, thank you, Paul.
Right, and most importantly, always, thank you very much to our listeners. We hope you are being spiritually fed. We hope you're moving from the religious to the spiritual and from the spiritual to the meta-spiritual. Because what we really want for you is to take these ideas and use them in your life so you can be the best you can be. I think you call that the exceptional you.
The extraordinary you.
Extraordinary you.
The extraordinary you.
Well, if you're extraordinary, you're going to be exceptional too.
Absolutely.
I think I call it. Anyway, so that's great. Thank you, everybody. To the next time, make another beautiful day in your consciousness.
Yes.
Bye, all.
Bye.